From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen. Today, we begin the show at the U.S.-Mexico border. Last year, Congress approved a plan to fence 700 miles of that border. Nearly half of that will be a virtual barrier of Border Patrol agents, cameras, and other technologies. But 370 miles of it will be actual fence. What might it look like? The Department of Homeland Security recently released some details of its plans along with some photos. Homeland Security is taking public comment on the fence plans until the 15th of this month. In a few minutes, we'll hear two very different responses from residents in towns where the fence will be built. First, though, I spoke earlier with Russ Kanaki from the Department of Homeland Security and asked him to describe the fence options.
Well, the fence itself is going to vary quite substantially based upon the terrain where we might construct fence. In some cases, it might be what's referred to as kind of a landing mat, just a solid sheet of metal. In some cases, it's going to be more of a mesh fencing. In some cases, it might resemble more of the types of barriers or cables that you might see that run between two lanes of highway on most interstate around the country. Understanding that there might be multiple lines of cable in each section of a fence. So it's going to vary significantly based upon the terrain of the given area where we're going to be building the fence. And that's obviously going to take into account the geography, the climate, and ultimately what the needs are of the Border Patrol in that given area.
Mr. Kanaki, I looked at some of these pictures online, and I have to tell you, I was somewhat surprised because I think before I had seen them, I had imagined kind of these giant, scary looking fences, but some of these options looked rather simple, almost like something you'd find at Home Depot. Are you sure that this is going to actually be enough to keep out the people you want to keep out?
Well, that's a great question. Fencing itself is not going to keep every single determined alien out of the country. It can certainly slow them up significantly. So we'll put fencing in areas where the Border Patrol tells us that they need it to slow up the movement of an illegal alien, you know, sometimes by as much as 20 or 30 minutes, which gives the Border Patrol enough response time to be able to take that alien into custody. In other cases, for example, metropolitan areas, virtual fencing has not been as effective for the Border Patrol in your metropolitan areas. Traditional fencing is going to be more important because it's going to slow up the alien just enough so that they can take them into custody. When you're talking about your more desolate or desert areas, virtual fencing is going to be more effective because there are not as many transportation hubs in the desert. What that means is that the Border Patrol can get a signal using that virtual technology that an alien has crossed the border, and they can then determine at the time and location of their choosing where they're going to take that alien into custody well before that alien could ever disappear into the interior.
Sections of this fence will go through federal wildlife refuges, state parks. A lot of people have raised concerns that building this fence will have a detrimental impact on the environment, that it'll destroy native habitat of several different species. What's your response?
We actually go to great lengths to do environmental assessments before we begin any border construction projects. That involves coordination not only with environmental authorities at local and state levels, but also at federal levels, and sometimes with our neighbors on the other side of the border. That is an important part of the decision-making process for where border infrastructure projects might be built. Ultimately, we have a responsibility to secure our borders, and so there have been a couple of instances where environmental disputes had languished for several years, and we as a department exercised our authority to waive environmental restrictions and complete construction of fencing in the San Diego area and more recently in the Barium Goldwater Range in southern Arizona. So we do have the authority to waive those environmental restrictions, but even in those cases, ultimately the project itself reflects the appreciation for the environment that we have.
Russ Kanaki of the Department of Homeland Security, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Reaction to the proposed border fence has been quite mixed. We turn now to two men. They both live in Texas. They both live in towns where Homeland Security plans to build a fence, but that's where their similarities end. One of them can't wait for the fence to get there. The other will do just about anything to stop it. We hear first from Pat Ahumada. He's the mayor of Brownsville. That's a city on the southernmost tip of Texas, where the motto is, on the border, by the sea.
It attracts people from the northern part of the United States and people from the southern part of the United Mexico, and the northern part of Mexico. We consider it the crossroads of the hemisphere, tropical climate, and we have about the friendliest people you're going to find in this planet here.
Now, they've just recently released pictures and some details of what this fence would look like. Have you had a chance to take a look at those yet?
Oh, yes.
What do you think?
Symbolically, it's a wrong message to send to our neighbors who we depend on for commerce and who we never had a problem with and who we depend also for tourism. Our sales tax is the biggest part of our budget here in Brownsville. What they're proposing is not an effective fence. I think it's being built just to please Mid-America. Mid-America has a visual picture that a fence will protect them. I think a physical fence like that will protect them, which is providing a false sense of security. It's just like a prison. It's fortifying our city. What we're providing is to build a weir along the river, which will raise the water level from 12 feet to 26 feet, which make it very difficult to cross because of the currents, along with sophisticated equipment like radar, surveillance equipment, and boots on the ground, will be a more effective virtual fence than what is being proposed to deter any kind of illegal activity. This is a much better, a viable proposal than what Homeland Security is trying to ram down our throats.
Mayor, I understand that some people in your area have been so upset by this proposed fence that they've actually been blocking the work of some of the land surveyors that have been trying to come down to work on it. Is that true?
Well, they came to us, the city. The city owns a lot of land along the river, which we were hoping to, if we build a weir, to develop as a river walk like San Antonio. The fence now is going to make it difficult to do that, and it will hurt us economically. They came and asked for permission to go on our lands, and we denied that permission, and rightfully so.
How did they take that denial?
They were very cooperative, very courteous, and we had no problem. We just told them we were not going to allow it.
I'm sure that's not going to be the last that you hear from them. They're pretty set on building this fence. What do you think might happen?
Well, America's known as having a backbone, okay? And I'm talking about America, the citizens. We have backbone in Brownsville. We believe very strongly the most ludicrous thing that's being proposed to please Mid-America, who wants a fence because of the terrorism. Well, this has nothing to do with terrorism. This has to do with illegal immigration, okay? And it's a false sense of security. Who would know better what's good for us than us?
Pat Aumada is the mayor of Brownsville, Texas. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Great. Thank you. You take care.
Joe Metz lives about an hour's drive west of Brownsville. He owns an 1,100-acre ranch outside of Mission, Texas, where he runs cattle and grows various crops. The land has been in Joe Metz's family since 1922. The border fence will go right through his property, and Metz says he can't wait. He says engineers building the fence have told him they can tailor its construction to meet his needs.
We need to have access to the river. We told him we wanted a minimum of 30-foot gates. And he asked, well, what type of gates do you want? And he said, would you like to have electronic gates, like your garage opener, just press a button and they'll open up? And he said, it's just whatever you want. You want cameras on the gates or...
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
they're telling you get whatever you want.
You know, they've been very accommodating. They want to assure us that, they don't want to interfere with our property or anything. The big deal for us is the drug traffic. I mean, we see it every week.
Are you ever concerned about your own safety?
I've been run off of my own road by these people. I mean, once they leave the river, they'll run over you if you try to get in their way. So I just pull off my own property off the road. We have probably 2 miles of roads on our farm. Illegals, they used to be, stragglers, two or three people coming across on their own. Now, it's many 30 or 40 people. See, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you have dogs barking and people running through your yard and a helicopter with lights, you wake up to this time and time again, it just makes life miserable. And, it's scary. We have to lock all our interior gates on our pastures because they open the gates, they'll never close them.
And couldn't that mean that cows could run off, things like that?
Right. They get loose. We've had them even get out, you know, off of our property out on the highway and stuff. But we lock them all now. In the last 10 years, it's really gotten bad.
And approximately, you said that you'd see about 30 people. How often is that? Every day? Every week?
I would say that on the property that we own, every day people cross. Every day.
Do you ever talk to them?
No. They come across on rubber rafts, you know, and they'll have like 10 people in a rubber raft, but I've had them where our irrigation pumps, you know, cross right to where our pump is and say hello.
So they'll say hi to you?
Yeah, they know where the Border Patrol is. When they cross, they already know where the Border Patrol is not around there, so they're not concerned.
So do you think a fence will make a difference?
It'll make a big difference. The thing is, you know, 99% of the people is against the fence. They have no idea what's going on along the river. I just kind of laugh when I hear a lot of this stuff. They just don't have any idea. And you know, the people, especially the small people that live in communities, they don't want to say anything because they don't want any reprisals from the coyotes and the drug dealers. They're afraid that they're going to get threatened or something. There's a little community that's next to our farm, and everybody that I've talked to there, that the Corps of Engineers has asked for you to sign a document letting you come on their property. And everyone I've talked to said that they've signed it. They said they just can't wait till they put the fence up.
Joe Metz, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Okay.
If the current plans for the border fence are approved, construction on rancher Joe Metz's land should begin next spring. For more on the Department of Homeland Security's plans for the border fence and to see pictures of some of the proposed options, go to our website. That's npr.org.